seated.
Good morning, church family. How are you on this Mother's Day? What a beautiful day the Lord's given us. Isn't it a beautiful day to be together with God's people and to celebrate on Mother's Day? I was a full-time pastor for 20 years in just two churches, and then I've been an interim pastor the last 18 years. I just finished my 13th interim. Anybody know where Greenville Springs is up in northeast Baton Rouge area? I just finished there almost 2.5 years. And in all the times I preached on Mother's Day, there were only a couple of times I didn't preach a Mother's Day sermon on Mother's Day. And you know what? I regretted it because Mama's got on to me. So anyway, I got a Mother's Day message for you. Now, the thing is, there's application for everyone, so dads and men and students and kids, don't tune me out because there's something here for everyone today. By the way, I'm one of you. We're North Shore people. My wife Diane here. We lived in Abita Springs for 15 years. Anybody know where Abita is? We lived on Dog Pound Road. Don't mess with me. I live on Dog Pound Road. But anyway, we lived on Dog Pound Road, and we downsized as my girls grew up and got away. We downsized a little bit, and now we're in Covington over there. Somebody know where Movie Tavern is over that way? Honda of Covington. We're over in that area over there. So anyway, we're North Shore people with you, and we're glad to be here today. I'm glad my bride could be with me. If you see her with her little scooter, on spring break, she broke her ankle as we were going down a hill hiking. We hit some thick matted leaves, and I went down a little bit, and I'm okay. Then I heard screaming behind me. I thought a snake had come out and gotten her on the ankle. No, she said, I broke my ankle. And she broke it in three places, had surgery a little over a month ago, and then had surgery Tuesday, a week ago, because infection got in. It had to redo and take out all the plates, the screws and everything. So bless her heart. I'm glad that my wife, mother of my children, could be with me today and be on her little scooter getting around, all right? And by the way, pray for her, because she's going to be at the National Preaching Conference in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's not going to be one of the preachers. She's going to do the pastor's wives track and be the plenary speaker for them. And she has a lady coming from one of our former churches is going to come and drive her and be there. So if you think of Diane this week, pray for her as they travel, as she shares with the ladies. She has a ministry to pastor's wives around the nation in Canada and does refresh retreats for minister's wives and brings them in, takes care of them, loves on them, helps, teaches them, shares with them, and lets them share their stories and then sends them back refreshed. So anyway, I appreciate my wife. And here's what I like to say about her, and I'm going to say it in front of you. You're awesome, Diane. You're awesome. My wife is awesome. I love her, man. I love her. All right. I thank Brother Ronnie for having me. Isn't it? I've met him a couple times, talked with him. He's a nice guy. Y'all like your new pastor? Is he doing a pretty good job? I mean, I like him. So I enjoyed visiting with him, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to fill in today on Mother's Day, and I appreciate you being here. And for whatever reason you came, it may be the only reason you're here is because your mother or grandmother bugged you to death to come be with me on Mother's Day. That's fine, but God has a purpose for you being here, and I'm glad for you being here. And I have something to say to you, share with you from God's Word, and God wants to speak to you today. But I tell you what, another thing is with your church, I've had several of your staff members in my classes through the years. In fact, Jared reminded me that about 6 or 7 years ago, he was in one of my evangelism classes. I'd kind of forgotten. That's been a while. That's when I was a younger man. But anyway, I just had forgotten. And Brother Reese here, you know, you student minister, y'all know Brother Reese here? He was in my evangelism class last semester. And do you know he's a drummer? I saw you had one up here captured in that room. But anyway, but he's a pretty good drummer, too. He plays for our chapel services and does a great job. And so I appreciate that. But he was a fairly decent student as well. He almost passed my class. So isn't that good? So anyway, no, he did. He did fine. So, but it's a pleasure to be with you and to worship with you, Brother Jared and praise team. Thank you for leading us in worship. It's always wonderful to be with the people of God. I've shared with my kids before, and I've shared with many other people. I have chosen to cast my lot with the people of God. I'm telling you, I'd rather be with the church than with anybody else, with the people of God. Now, with all of our warts and all of our blemishes and all of our struggles, I'm telling you again, I'd rather be with the people of God than out in the world. What about you? Amen. Amen. And I'm glad to be with you, First Baptist, today here in Mandeville. You never know for certain how you're going to be received when you come in as the substitute pastor. I know sometimes people come in, they're almost ready to leave, but it's like, oh, no, I want to hear our pastor today. But anyway, thank you for staying. There may have been some that left, I didn't know. But anyway, thank you for staying, even though you got a substitute pastor. But you never know the reactions people are going to have. Like with my two children, by the way, I've got a daughter who's married and is in South Carolina. She went to North Greenville University there, got a residential scholarship. And so she married a mountain boy there, big, 6'5", 285 pounds, and so he's an accountant. He's a big accountant. And so she is there in South Carolina. And then my other daughter just finished last year at this time. She finished at California Baptist University, and she was in music production. She's trying to break in the music industry there, but she's living in L.A., and so I have them on the East Coast and the West Coast. And here we are down in South Louisiana, so in between. But when they were little, Precious, I love my kids, had a great time. We couldn't have children for a long time, went through, had fertility issues, all kind of things, and then God opened the womb and blessed us. Both were preemies, high-risk pregnancies, but I love my daughters, and they're both in their 20s. And so when they were little, we would have devotional times. I don't know if you have that with your family. I encourage you to have family devotionals. We'd have devotional time and short time, especially when they were real little. And then we would divide and conquer, you know, putting to bed. One would be with one and one with the other. So Diane was with our oldest one, Rebecca. We have Rebecca and Rachel, by the way, in the biblical order, Rebecca and Rachel. And so she was with Rebecca, and I was with Rachel, and then we switched. So she's with Rebecca here, and I'm with Rachel, and we prayed right there, us kneeling by our bed. And whenever I finish, this is precious for you mothers, but you dads also appreciate this. When we finished praying, Rachel, my three-year-old, looked up in my face, and she goes, "Daddy, I love God." Isn't that great? And so we switched, and so Diane comes to Rachel, and I go over to Rebecca, and I knelt down by the bed, and I prayed with Rebecca, and the oldest one, she's five at this time. And so we finished praying. She looked up in my eyes, and she did like this, "Daddy, your breath stinks." So you never know the reaction you're going to have. But thank you for being here, and thank you for being willing to hear from a substitute preacher today. Now, moms, I want to say happy Mother's Day. I am grateful for your work. It's one of the most important jobs in the world. Can we agree on that? Being a mother. Now, amen. Mothers do so many things. They could have so many job titles. And by the way, salary.com lists several of these of what mothers do, and they also give the amount you would pay a mother if she an annual salary if she did somebody else did all of these things, you put them all together. So here are the job titles. Some of them: housekeeper, daycare center teacher, cook and kitchen manager, computer operator, conflicts manager, laundry machine operator, janitor, facilities manager, meeting event organizer, logistics analyst, van driver, CEO, CFO, and psychologist. All right? And if you put those all together, what would her salary be? Salary.com has estimated this. Now listen to this. You're not going to believe it. $184,820. Woo, my soul. Now, moms, don't be expecting that. None of us have that. We're going to be able to do that. But here's what I'll tell you. We never could repay you for all you have done for us, all you are doing, and all you're going to do. Thank you, moms. I salute you and praise God for you. I'm very, very grateful for our mothers here today. Now, the fifth of the Ten Commandments is what? Honor, let's do King James Version, honor thy father and thy mother. We're to honor you, and we ought to. There's one day of the year set aside in our country to do that, and in our churches we do that, but we ought to celebrate every day for our mothers. Where would we be without our mothers? Well, we wouldn't be here. We're grateful for our mothers and all they've done for us. What does a child cry out? Well, a child, whenever it gets in trouble, in a tight situation, what's he going to cry out? Mommy! Still, it happens with pro athletes and with college athletes sometimes. The camera comes in their face. Who do they greet first? Hi, who? Hi, mom. Truck drivers, bikers, some prisoners have tattooed on their arm. What? Mom. That's right, or mother. It's just, we can't get, and no matter our stage, our status, our station, our situation in life, we remember our mothers and the touch that our mothers have had upon our lives. Now, I see I've got several children here, some students, and just want you to know, growing up, some of those that are a little more mature here with me, we had to learn poetry. Do you remember having to memorize some poems and state them, recite them in front of the class? I don't know that they do that anymore. I don't know that poetry is a big thing. And so you don't have a lot of poems today, so we're going to do a little old school. Now, sometimes at the seminary when they see me, I'm one of the older professors now, and they see me and they think I'm going to be old school, and I'm not old school. But I'm not new school. You know what I am? Real school. It's real stuff, okay? Real school stuff. So, but I do want to do an old school thing today and read a poem to you, all right? because it fits so well the occasion of Mother's Day. And the title of the poem is A Mother's Touch is Forever. Would you indulge me to share this with you? All right. A mother's touch begins when she first tickles the soles of little feet and continues until she tempers souls with her love. A mother's touch is as constant as her love, finding its way through the clouds of rain or the showers of happiness. A mother's touch inspires her children to be even better than they really are. Whether with a pat on the back when things go right or a hug when things go wrong, a mother's touch is enabling, giving her children the courage and confidence to reach out and touch someone else too. A mother's touch helps put the pieces back together, whether the pieces of a broken doll, a broken date, or a broken relationship. A mother's touch fills hearts with hope and homes with love. A mother's touch is forever. A mother's touch. That happens to be the title of my message I share with you today. And as I shared with you, it's a Mother's Day message, but there's something for everyone here, because we're going to talk about the influence of a mother, the mother's touch on our lives that makes a difference. We're going to meet a woman in Scripture. She's known as a daughter of Levi. She's known as the wife of Amram. She's most well known as the mother of her three children, at least the three we know very well, Miriam, Aaron, and her most famous child, her youngest boy. Anybody remember him? Know who he is? Moses, that's right. Do you know her name? Anybody remember her name? We hardly remember her name. It's only mentioned once or twice in Scripture, and it's Jochebed, or in Hebrew, Jochebed, but Jochebed. And she's only mentioned a couple times in Scripture, and here she's mentioned as a woman who married Levi and bore a son. She touched many lives, but particularly did she make a difference by touching the life of her youngest boy, Moses, who made a difference for what would be called the Hebrew nation, the Jews, and touched all of religious history and all of history because of what he did in leading the people out in the Exodus from Egypt. So we're going to talk about the difference that your touch, Mom, Mother, can make, and I hope this will be an encouragement and challenge to you today. So let's go to a familiar story. It's in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus 2. Would you turn there with me in your Bibles? Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. I've done this for the last 48 years of gospel ministry I've been in. I know I hardly look 48, but I've been in ministry 48 years. So I have had people stand at the reading of God's Word. So if you're physically able, would you stand with me in honor of God's holy Word as I read? You look on with a neighbor, look at the Word that you have in front of you, the copy of God's Word. It should be on the screens for you. There you go. All right. Exodus chapter 2. You know where it is? Genesis? Exodus. Okay. Second book of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Okay. Now a man from the house of Levi went and did what? Married a daughter of Levi. Don't even have her name here, Jochebed or Jochebed. The woman conceived, there's the woman, and bore a son. That's the description of what she did. She had a baby. She's married, had a baby. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds in the bank by the bank of the Nile. His sister, that's Miriam, stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him, the little baby in the basket in the bulrushes. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, that's Miriam, she popped up out of the weeds there, the bulrush, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Who's this mother? Jochebed or Jochebed, that's right. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me." In other words, get him weaned, "and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew and brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him what? Moses, and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, your day that we worship you. We worship you every day, but Lord, we come together corporately as the body of Christ to worship you. But also, Lord, today as we glorify your Son, we worship and honor you, our Father. We come to pay respect and show honor to our mothers. We thank you for this day set aside by our nation to do this, and we are grateful for our mothers. And thank you that they reflect the love and sacrifice of Christ as they take care of us. And Lord God, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts through your word today, through this Mother's Day message. And Lord God, as I speak into the ears of the hearing of your people, I know I can't speak into the ears of their heart, only you can do that. So I pray, as I've already prayed, but I pray here with your people that you fill me and anoint me, give me the unction from on high. May your Spirit then quicken the truth to the hearts of everyone gathered here, and that they may respond the way you want them to by the leadership of your Spirit. And this I pray in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. Please be seated, church family, and any guests that are with us today. And may God add his blessings and power to the reading and now the preaching of his word. Now, the focus of this text and of this story is about Moses, the baby Moses. But I'm going to take the secondary aspect of it about his mother, because she's prominent here as well, and focus on her touch on his life. So here's my main truth I share with you. A mother's touch, listen to me, a mother's touch lays the foundation for the future of her children. Is that right? A mother's touch lays the foundation for the future of children. And let me add this. And for those that the children will touch, that they'll make a difference in their lives. So a mother's touch lays the foundation for the future. So here's how we see a mother's touch. All right? Are you ready? You can do like this. That'll help me. Yes. This will mean no. We good? Yes? All right, here we go. Number one. First truth I share with you. A mother cares for the needs of her children. Isn't that really what mothers are about? Isn't that right? Mothers are taking care of others all the time. Isn't it true, mothers, that you want... I can tell you this. I've got a wife here that's a mother, but my mother and other mothers and all, and I've been a pastor for many years, mothers, you know what mothers want most of all? They want everybody to be happy. Isn't that right? They want their kids to be happy. They want their husband to be happy. They want their friends to be happy. They want everybody to be... Mothers will do just about anything to help people be happy. And what mothers do most of all is meet the needs of their children, meet the needs of anyone around them for the most part. Let me tell you, what mothers do is, that's why we love them so much, they take care of everybody else. And a lot of times at the detriment to themselves. Sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, sometimes spiritually. They take care of everyone else. A mother provides for her children and protects her children, would do anything to take care of them. Now, this was calculated a few years ago, but it was calculated that before you left home, your mother served you over 1,970 glasses of milk, 2,700 scrambled eggs, 13,140 cookies, and 6,570 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Your mother's taking care of you, right? This is the story of the birth of Moses, I know. But do you remember what's behind this, and why Moses was even put in that basket, and why there was an issue there at all? What was the deal? Some of you remember? Some of you Bible teachers, some of you know the story? Who were the Hebrews? Who were the Jews? Who were they? They were slave people, and they were in the building projects and building everything for Pharaoh and for the leadership in the country. But what was happening? They were proliferating. They were having babies. They were growing. The population was growing. And Pharaoh, who was the most powerful man on the face of the earth at the time, he was afraid that they would get so numerous that they then would gather together and they could overthrow his monarchy, his government, his kingdom. And so therefore, what did he tell the midwives of the Hebrew women? The boys and girls of midwives were the ones that helped them birth. They didn't have doctors like we have today and all of those that would help with the birth. What did they do? What did they tell them to do? To kill the Hebrew boys. Now, let the girls live, but kill them. And how were they to kill them? Throw them into the Nile River and let the crocodiles get them. That's terrible to tell you, but that's what they were doing. So he was cruel, and didn't want them to have more of the men, especially because they could be soldiers and later on. They could take them. No. So he was trying to wipe them out is what he was doing in essence. And so the Hebrew midwives were disobedient because it was a bad law, wrong law. You need to be obedient, boys and girls, and do what your parents tell you and do what the laws of the land are. But because it was a bad law from a bad man to kill people, then they didn't do that. And so the boys were surviving. Some of them were. Well, here's what happened, though. This Jochebed and Amram had this baby. And look in verse 2 with me. She saw that the child was what? What does it say in your Bible? How's it trained? I've got New American Standard. What's beautiful is what it says here. What's saying yours? Good, goodly, fine. Okay, the word very literally in the Hebrew is good. But it has a lot more meaning than what we mean in English with good. I think a better way for us to see it and understand it in interpretation is saw that there was something special about this child. There was something special about Moses. By the way, why was his name Moses? It's shared with you in verse 10. Because she did what? Drew him out of the water. Moshe in Hebrew means draw out or pull out. And so she actually gave him a Hebrew name, her son, who was would, quote, become an Egyptian, all right, in Pharaoh's court. So it's new, it's a special child. So God had entrusted Amram and Jochebed, or Jochebed, with a special child. Now, we don't know all that they understood or knew and probably didn't understand or know a whole lot, but they knew there was something different, something special about the youngest boy, Moses. And so they knew they needed to preserve his life. She couldn't hide him any longer after 3 months. Why do you think about 3 months would be an issue? Why do you think that would be an issue? What do babies do? Besides eat and take care of business, they cry. And the older they get, the lungs get more powerful, and what are they going to do? As my old daddy say, they're going to beller. They're going to be louder, right? They're going to cry. So now, I'll tell you, it's hard to understand. What was this deal about a little basket? It was a papyrus basket. They put pitch and tar in it so it would float and the water wouldn't come into the basket and put him out there to float. We don't understand. I don't know for sure. I don't know if Jochebed knew what was about to happen. They said put him out there to see what would happen, but apparently God knew, and apparently God had a plan. Can we say amen to that? And God knew what was going to happen with Pharaoh's daughter when she saw this little baby. So she hid him for 3 months. So here's what she did. She provided for a baby, but she protected her baby. I want to tell you something. She knew that it was a calling from God to make a difference in her child's life. And you know what? Motherhood is a calling. I mean, what does it take to be a mother, to have children? But your call to the Lord to make a difference. I tell you what, mothers all of their lives are trying to take care of their children. We kind of thought parenting was, you know, once they're 18 or so, get them out of the house and go off to college and, oh, yeah, and get them through college. Yeah, listen, they're in their 20s, one's married, and we're still parenting. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? You're still taking care of me. Still, my poor wife, she's counseling, helping me all the time. That's just part of what you do. Mrs. Mueller, at one time, was the oldest person alive. This is in the late 90s. She was 116 years of age. She lived in a nursing home in Ontario, Canada. Now listen to this. How old did I tell you? 116, the oldest person according to Guinness Book of World Records. She was trying to seek a mate for her son. Her son was 81 years old. And guess what? He lived in the same nursing home that his mother lived in. And so Mrs. Mueller spent 9 years trying to get him a wife. And here's what she said. She said, it was her project to fix him up with the ladies there. She said, there are a lot of pretty girls here, and I'm going to find him a wife. Isn't that a mother? I mean, at 116, still trying to take care of an 81-year-old son to get him a daughter. That mothers do that. That typifies mothers. Mothers taking care of others. Now, I do need to be honest with you on this, though. In the era in which we're in and the time in which we live, most mothers sacrifice to take care of their children. You may not have had a mother that was like that, and I understand that. Your mother may not have, in fact, your mother may have caused grief and caused problems for you, and I understand that. Every now and then there's that case. But I also found that some of the younger generation having children do not have that same sacrificial approach to taking care of their children. In fact, can I say this? Can I be honest with you on this? Well, you don't want to lie in Professor Preacher, do you? I'm going to be honest with you. Some women are almost sacrificing their children because of some sorry guy they want in the house with them. Are you hearing me? We hear that over and over too much, do we not today? And if you're in that situation as a single mom, I understand the relationship you would like to have with a man, but don't ever put your children in jeopardy like that with a man who will not love them as they should be loved. Now, praise God, there's some men that will love and take care of the children, even if they're not their own, but we read too much of that with abuse and actual death of children. It is sad and sick today in which we live, right? But praise God, most of our mothers are sacrificial, serving, giving, and taking care of others. Listen, my own mother. Look back now, and I don't remember my mother ever having a new dress. I don't remember us going to very many fancy places. In fact, I didn't know how to go to a restaurant and order food, honestly. I'm the oldest of five kids. There were seven of us in our family. And when I went off to college, I was the first one on either side of the family to get a college degree, four-year college degree. And I'm not bragging or anything, I'm just telling you that's the situation we were in. And I found out when I applied for grants and scholarships and everything, I found out we were at a poverty level for a family of five. But there were seven in our family. But I didn't know it. You know why? Because my mom and dad sacrificed for us. They made sure we had the new clothes and the new athletic shoes and the new stuff, but they didn't. I am grateful for the sacrifice of my mother, and I know you are too. Think back about your mother. By the way, my mother's still living. She's 84. I got to go be with her in the end of February for her birthday. She's the only living grandparent on either side of the family. But you think about your mother. And I hope those are pleasant memories. I hope when you think, and maybe your mother's still alive. Maybe she's with you right here, right now. And I hope you've expressed appreciation, a card, flowers, candy, food, taking her out to eat, whatever it is you're going to do or have done, praise God and thank them for that. So, first of all, a mother's touch is seen by what? When she cares for the needs of her children. Number two, the second truth I share with you is a mother counteracts the influence of the world upon her children. A mother counteracts the influence of the world upon her children. You know the story. Moses in the basket, floating in the bulrushes there in the Nile. Pharaoh's daughter comes to bathe, has her maidens with her. Mothers, wouldn't you like to have a few maidens to assist you? But anyway, she has her maidens with her, and she sees the little basket, little chest, said in the Hebrew, and she asks to go get it. She brings it, and when she opens it up, what happens? What does it say here in Scripture? She opened it, verse 6, what happened? Go ahead, and you can answer it. Maybe you're not used to answering, but I'll tell you this, that when I ask these questions, when you answer it, it goes by a little quicker. The child, and what was the child doing? Crying. Now there's something that happened right then. I believe that was providential, that he's crying, because I think it awakened that maternal instinct in Pharaoh's daughter. Possibly she was infertile. She couldn't have children. We don't know for certain, but apparently there was an issue there because she wanted to adopt this child and have this child herself. And one old preacher, many years ago I heard an old preacher, it may have been J. Vernon McGee, I can't remember who it was, some of you old-timers will know him, but I said, about the time that she lifted that lid of that basket, an angel pinched that little baby so he'd start crying. But you know what? It did something inside of her. And so then Miriam, now we got another part of the story. Here's Miriam, the sister. She's over there in the bulrushes, and she jumps up, and what does she say? What does it say in verse 7? What'd she say to Pharaoh's daughter? Shall I call a nurse from you, from the Hebrew women? She may nurse the child. And Pharaoh's daughter said, you go ahead. And she called who? Whom? Jochebed or Jacobin. Called the mother of the child. And Pharaoh's daughter said, take this child. Pharaoh's daughter said to Mrs. Amram, Jochebed, okay, said, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I'll give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Now, I want to tell you something. Among the Hebrews, they would start laughing, cracking up right there. The most powerful man on the face of the earth, Pharaoh's court, the most powerful government there was, they're paying the Hebrew woman to nurse the child that's supposed to be killed, and so Pharaoh is paying the real mother to nurse her own child. Isn't that something? They would laugh. It doesn't quite translate it for us, but they would be laughing, saying Pharaoh paid the mother to nurse her own child. And when he was weaned, he became her son. Look at verse 10. It says, the child grew and brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and what? And by the way, weaning took a lot longer back in that day and time. We're not certain how old Moses might have been, but there apparently was some contact back and forth with the mother because of what we know later. But he became her son, but not really. Whoo, that's the good news here today. He became Pharaoh's daughter's son, the grandson of Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the face of the earth. He was the personification of the sun god, right? And so Moses was in line to be a god. Did you realize that? But he rejected that. Why? He didn't really become her son. He stayed the son of Jochebed, a Jewish woman, a Hebrew. We know that because of what we see in Hebrews chapter 11. Do we have that up there? If we don't, I'll be reading it. There we go. Let me read. The Hall of Faith, or the Hall of Fame of the Faithful, Hebrews 11 speaks of Moses by faith. Moses, Hebrews 11, 24, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Now, he didn't understand all about Christ, the Messiah who was coming, the prophet after him, but he knew enough and understood enough that it was better and what God wanted rather than what Pharaoh had to offer. And he had everything to offer because they were the richest people, had more than anybody else in all of the world, but he wanted to serve God rather than serve Pharaoh. Isn't that wonderful? And where did that all come from? Where do you think it came from? His mama counteracted the influence of the world. And moms, even though you may be struggling, even though your kids may be out in the far country, even though they may be straying, you keep on keeping on, keep praying, keep loving, keep working. You can counteract the influence of the world. And you laid the foundation to do that. And I recognize as they get older, they make their own choices and you have struggles. But I want to tell you something. You can make it. Listen, it is a challenge today, moms, is it not, and dads, to help your children live godly in an ungodly world. It's a challenge today to help people live righteous in an unrighteous, your children to live holy lives in this unholy world in which we live. I mean, it's a fight to help them to follow Christ. Is that not true? That's just reality. Listen, the world has always been out there, the world, the flesh, the devil, and tempting. But I want to tell you something. Our kids, our children have more access to sin and junk and trash and stuff, and part of it is just this right here, than any other time in any other place in history. And we've got to counteract that. And moms, thank you and praise you for doing what you do to help counteract the influence. Praise God for Jochebed that made a difference. Rather incredible. And here's the thing. Because of her influence in counteracting what would have happened and would have been, Moses would be in line to be a Pharaoh himself. He made a radical choice and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It says he became her son. No, not really. He stayed the son of his mother and of her God and followed him. And God used him to forge a nation called the Hebrews, the Jewish nation. The greatest leader of the Old Testament, I believe the greatest leader of antiquity, Moses, who forged a nation out of a slave people and took care of them for 40 years. Well, the Lord ultimately took care of them, I know, but carried them through and got them to the brink of the promised land. And then Joshua led them on in to the promised land flowing milk and honey. The influence of Jochebed, mama, over Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the face of the earth at the time. You make a big difference. And let me share the third truth with you about a mother's touch. A mother's touch compels her children to live for God. Compels her children. Now, a godly mother will do that. You know, sometimes I found an ungodly mother will compel her children to say, I don't want to live that way and be that way. But a godly mother compels her children to live for God. Now, ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that leads someone to live for God. I know. But God uses other people. God uses influencers, like a student minister. Use a pastor. He can use a mother, use a father. He can use friends to help influence them for God. And Jochebed made a difference for her son. Apparently, the foundations they laid, the teaching they did in the home, made a difference for Moses when he refused to be Pharaoh's daughter. And so he heard the promises of God. He knew the traditions of their people, of their faith. Instilled in him was that he should be right with a holy God. And then he became a deliverer of his people. Yes, he became the deliverer, the lawgiver. I mean, God gave to him the Ten Commandments to give to the Hebrews and to the world. And all laws are based upon the Ten Commandments. He became the great judge. He became the great prophet, the leader of God's people because of his faith and trust in God. God made a difference through that mama, through the son, because of her influence upon him that changed the world. I know this is far-reaching. And none of us will have that kind of far-reaching influence like Moses, but you know what? We can have an influence in our world where we are and make a difference where we are. I've said before, you know, I want to change the world. I do. I want to change the world, Brother Mike. I want to change the world for the gospel. But here's the thing. I can't change the whole world myself, but you know what? I can change my part of it. And I can influence others and equip them and to help change others. And then over time, literally, as my brother shared here, you can touch thousands of lives through one other person. That's true. You can make a difference. And moms, thank you. You've made a difference. You're making a difference. You help them to live for God. Abraham Lincoln, most likely, some historians share, and One pastor I know of recorded that after Gettysburg, that Abraham Lincoln placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's two things he said concerning his mother and the influence on him for God. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. And then he said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe it to my mother. Some of you may remember this back years ago, December of 1999. Torrential rains and terrible mudslides on the coast of Venezuela, a seaside village below the mountain. The rain, the mudslides, boulders as big as cars and sometimes big as houses were coming down on this seaside town, and 30,000 people lost their lives. One story came out of that. Andrea Prada, mother of 7-year-old Vangelis, V-A-N-G-E-L-E-S, Vangelis. As the water, the mud, the boulders were coming in, Dad was in one part of the house. I mean, it was so fast that it happened, coming down into the windows and through the doors. That Dad was in one part of the house, Grandmother in another part of the house, and Mother had Vangelis, and she took him and held him up above her head as the water and the mud was coming in, and there was a wooden beam that she could get to, and as the water came in, the mud came in, she was going higher, and she got him up to where he could hold on to that beam and be above the mud and the water, the floods, and she didn't let go of him. Andre continued to hold little Vangelis up for what seemed like an eternity. And then after a while, her hands began to grow cold. Then little Vangelis looked down and said, Mama, Mama, wake up. Mama, wake up. Her hands were still holding him, but she had drowned. The water and the mud. But she was still holding her son so he could cling to that beam and be rescued. In fact, the grandmother survived in an air pocket in another part of the house. The dad perished. The grandmother later was able to come and get little Vangelis. That's a very dramatic story, but it's a true story. It shows you the sacrifice of a mother to make certain her boy survived. Her child survived. I think about it. It epitomizes the sacrifice of Christ. You know, Jesus clung to a beam. See it up here above the baptistry, a cross. You say, well, no, he didn't cling. They nailed him to it. No, you need to understand, Jesus' life was not taken from him. He gave his life freely. So he stayed clung to the cross. Yes, they nailed him there, but he stayed clung to the cross. You know why? His love for you and for me. Jesus died on that cross, paid the sacrifice for our sin. You see, the Bible says all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Nope, nobody's not sinned. All of us have all sinned, except one, Jesus. Perfect. But we've all sinned. Preacher included, we've all done wrong. And everything costs. You know, this jacket costs, this tie costs, those chairs cost, the stained glass cost, that guitar cost. Everything has a price. Sin costs. You know what it cost? Life. The wage of sin is what? Death. Somebody's going to die for sin. That's the cost, the pay. For sin is death. Physical death, but more than that, spiritual death, separation from God. And if you die without Christ physically, you enter the second death. And you know what the second death is, according to the Bible? Hell. The lake of fire. Who wants to go there? Don't we want to go to heaven? Amen, amen. We want to go to heaven. We don't want to. In fact, God never intended for us to go to hell. The Bible says it's created for the devil and his angels. But if you don't want Jesus, you don't want to follow Jesus, and you're a sinner, and you are, and I am too, and we all are sinners, guess what? If we say no to God, that's the result. That's the pay. But guess what? Do you know this? I think you do. Jesus paid that price by dying on that cross, staying on that beam for us, the cross beam. He shed his blood that covers our sin. If we accept his payment, you see, you would have to pay for your sin forever away from God in hell. But you don't have to, because Jesus already paid the price. Accept his payment. There's no better deal in Mandeville or anywhere else around on the North Shore. Amen? He paid the price. But you know what? He didn't stay dead, because the wage of sin is what? The price for sin is what? The cost of sin is what? Death. Guess what Jesus did? He died. He paid it for you. But then he didn't stay dead. He conquered death. What did he do? He rose from the dead. And if somebody has the power over death, what could they give you? Life. And Jesus is the only one who can give you eternal life. So you've come here today. You've heard a Mother's Day message. But as we come to the close, we come to talk about why mother is so different. Because your mother's a Christian, a believer, hopefully a grandmother. You know, I share the gospel with people all over the nation, particularly in New Orleans now and all around wherever I go. But I want to tell you, I have led people to Christ for many, many years. And you know what? The number one response I get when I lead somebody to Jesus, I ask them, where is Jesus right now? They say, in my heart. I say, how do you know? I feel him. I said, feelings are wonderful. I don't dismiss them, but I say, you've acted upon the truth of God's word. And if you invite Christ into your life, you know what he'll do? He'll stay there. He said, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then the second question I ask is, who would be happy about your decision today? Anybody want to guess the number one answer? Anybody want to guess? My mother. Mama. Anybody want to guess number two answer? I'm talking over the years that I've been doing this, almost 50 years sharing the gospel. Grandmother. Praise God for praying mothers and praying grandmothers. And for mothers and grandmothers that live for Jesus. And you've come here, maybe it is that you just came because grandmother and mama bugged you enough to come. But you know what? God wanted you here. And it could be you've been a wayward child. It could be you've been like a prodigal out in the far country. But the Lord wants you to come back to him, or come to him in a personal way if you've never made a personal commitment to Christ. And nail down that personal commitment so you have Jesus in your life. You say, well, I don't know about religion. I'm not talking about religion. Religion's my business, what I do. It's how I make my living, all that. But you know what? Religion never saved anybody. You got to have a relationship with the living God. And you only have that through Jesus. So here's what you have to do. The Bible, two things you have to do. Repent of sin, place your faith in Christ, and ask him to come in and take control of your life. Turning from sin, repentance, faith, trusting in him. And I'll give you an opportunity to do that. How are we going to do that? Well, the Bible says you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. How do you call on him? Through prayer. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Now, it's not a magical prayer, and words won't save you. Jesus does the saving, but you have to express that and confess him with your lips. The Bible says, confess him as Lord, that he's your God, he's your Lord, he's your Savior. And I'll give you an opportunity to do so. So we're going to bow our heads in a moment. We're going to pray a prayer, ask the Lord to forgive us of sin, repent of sin, trusting in what he did on the cross, and then trusting him to come into your life and save you. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads together. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. So you can be alone with your thoughts and with the truth of what you've just heard. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, or you have a question mark, eternity's too long to be wrong and to have a question mark. So let's stretch that exclamation, that question mark to an exclamation point. So right here, right now, my friend, sir, ma'am, my young friend, pray with me to receive Jesus. You know that's what you need to do. You know that's what God wants you to do. You know it's what mama, grandma wants you to do. But more importantly, it's what Jesus wants you to do. It's why he came here. It's why he did what he did. He died on the cross, rose from the dead for you. For all humanity, but for you. So right now, would you pray with me something like this? Dear Lord Jesus. You can pray out loud. You can whisper it. You can just speak silently to him. He hears you. He's here by his spirit. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I admit I have sinned against you. Just get honest with God. I've done wrong. I've sinned. In your own words, I've broken your laws. I've sinned. I've done wrong. Forgive me. I want to repent. You can use that Bible word to just say, I want to turn away from sin and turn to you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross to pay for my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross to pay for my sin. And then say to him, Jesus, I accept your payment on the cross, the shedding of your blood to cover my sin. Just tell him, I accept your payment. Not good you're trying to do, or be better, or be a good boy, or a good girl, or a better son, a better daughter. Say, I accept your payment. I can do nothing. By your grace, I accept your payment on the cross. And then say to him, Jesus, I know you rose from the dead. Just tell him flat out, I know you rose from the dead. You're alive and can live in me. And then say to him, I want to ask you to come live in my heart. Come in, take control. Come in, save my soul. come in, give me eternal life. Oh, Jesus, please come in and give me a home in heaven. And he'll do it. Just ask him. You may not have caught all the words, but just ask him to come in, take control, come into your life. You can say it to him this way: I receive you now as my Savior. Just tell him that. And I will follow you as my Lord from this day forward. If you just prayed to receive Christ, God bless you. You've done the right thing. Welcome to the family of God. You become one of our brothers and our sisters. And you know what? We'd like to know who our new family members are. So with this personal invitation I've given to you, I'm going to give you a public invitation. So what we're going to do in a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. Brother Jared will be singing from here. And I'm going to ask you to come and take the hand of one of the ministers here and let them know of your commitment to Christ. Why would I do that? Because, again, you're part of the family of God. And also, from a practical standpoint, we won't know how to help you with your next steps in living for Jesus unless we know who you are. And so we invite you to come. And also, there are biblical reasons. Jesus, when he called people to follow him in the New Testament, he called them in front of other people, come follow me. And also, Jesus died publicly for you. He didn't die in a back alley. He didn't die in a closet. He died on a hill, suspended between heaven and earth, outside of one of the major city gates of Jerusalem, for everyone to see. Since he was willing to die publicly for you, I don't think it's too much to ask you to publicly let it be known you're a follower of Christ. Now, you need to know, coming forward and coming down to one of the ministers doesn't make you saved. It's your trust in Christ that makes you saved. And if you prayed with me, or if you've not yet prayed but you want to talk to somebody on a personal level, they're here to help you. So I'm going to pray for you. We're going to stand to our feet, and then you don't wait for anybody else to come. You step right out. Come right now. Let us know so we can encourage you and help you in your next steps in following Jesus. Lord, thank you for this time we've had together. Thank you for our mothers, and thank you for this message about a mother that made a difference for her son, but as a result made a difference for all of history. And Lord, thank you for the difference our mothers make and their touch upon our lives. Their touch is forever for us. But thank you that you save us forever. And for those who trusted your Son as Lord and Savior, help them now to take their public stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen.